Science, the micro effect.
www.themicroeffect.com.
Take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
A conference coming up in Whitefish, Montana,
It is called This West is Our West Conference, and if people are interested in joining this conference as a guest, please go to thiswestisourwest.com. That's thiswestisourwest.com. And the program is going to be about uniting the Western states and our Western way of life and protecting the rights, our God-given or unalienable rights under the Constitution, and how the attacks on the West are an attack on everyone in this country, whether they realize it or not. We've got a great lineup of speakers for this this program. We've got Alex Newman, Carrie White, Mark Sutherland, Matt Shea, Norm Simanko, Elaine Wellman, Chris Courtlander, Ammon Bundy, and Jeanette Finnicum is going to be doing a preview of her movie, Lavoy Dead Man Talking. So this is going to be an all-day conference this weekend, Saturday, and that would be Saturday the 13th in Whitefish, Montana at the Grouse Mountain Lodge. And so please go to thiswestisourwest.com and you can get tickets for that event. Anyway, with that, I want to introduce our speakers, our guests for today. And I think a lot of folks have heard our guest before. Mary Fanning is a nationally recognized national security expert. She writes several columns. She is very involved in the whole national security apparatus with Alan Jones. Alan is an investigative journalist who broke a series of national security stories at the Washington Times communities, and Mary is also the founder of the Coalition of Concerned Citizens, and she writes, they both write articles for the Center for Security Policy.org. And that is a group that is under the direction of Frank Gaffney, who I'm sure just about everybody understands and knows from all of his involvement in national security affairs. So with that, Mary, welcome to the program. I'm thrilled to death to have you back on the show talking about some of the things that have been happening in America.
Dan, it's nice to be with you. Nice to be with your audience.
Well, thank you. And would you like to kind of talk about your recent article that you did on the Watergate pair, Woodward and Bernstein, who happened to be now in the process of trying to attack President Trump, and give a little bit of background on those gentlemen?
Well, what we're watching is a repeat of Watergate. This is Watergate Redux. And when you understand the background to Carl Bernstein and to Bob Woodward, and you understand some of the facts that have come forth since they first took down President Nixon, it's very interesting that both of these men reported to the Washington Post and the Meyer family, and were never exposed for their background and their connections. Carl Bernstein and Bob Woodward worked with the Deep Throat to take down President Nixon. Now, regardless of how you view President Nixon or if you thought his activities were criminal in any way, what you need to understand in the background is that President Richard Nixon had been working with Whitaker Chambers, and he was the man that actually brought the information to McCarthy. And while Alger Pitt was telling the American people one story, both Whitaker Chambers and Alger Pitt were put on trial, and they spoke to the American people. And the American people believed the State Department person, Alger Pitt, who was also a founding member of the United Nations, until Whitaker Chambers came forth with proof that Elder Hiss was in fact a Soviet spy. Came forth with what's known as the pumpkin papers. There was film that was hidden in a pumpkin on his farm. Now, at that point, Elder Hiss then went to prison. Until the Venona decryption came forth. Didn't happen until the 90s that we knew about this. It was proven that Elder Hiss was a very serious Soviet spy, working with the Rosenberg. What became so interesting to us as we started looking into the Venona papers for your audience that has not read Herb Rommerstein's The Venona Papers or Anna West's The American Betrayal, are so interesting. But when we looked into the 24/7 Carl Bernstein on CNN calling President Trump a Russian agent and accusing him of collusion with the Russians, it became very rich when we looked into Carl Bernstein's background and found he'd written a book of loyalties about his own parents, who were both Communist Party members working with the Soviet spies that turned over the atomic secrets to the Soviets. Now, imagine if the American people had known that the man who was taking down President Nixon and now President Trump were in fact that his parents were communist spies. They weren't just communist party members. They were working with the Sobels. And in Carl Bernstein's book about his parents, he tells about them working with the Rosenberg's attorney and the Sobel's attorney, Martin Sobel, with his wife, and to start putting together protests and groups that would come forth and present an alternate truth that these were these poor people who were being put on trial and being sentenced to death. And in Martin Sobel's case, he was sent to Alcatraz for 35 years. So as we looked at Carl Bernstein and understood that he was bringing repeat of Watergate forward, and then in his own background, that his parents were Soviet spies working, because Elizabeth Bentley proved that everyone in the Communist Party USA at that point was in fact working for the Soviet Union. And they were all collecting whatever they could to send to the Soviet Union. Not just, by the way, the atomic secrets that the Rosenberg hid off, sorts of military secrets that affected us as the judge that wrote of them. It affected us going into the Vietnam War and the Korean War, because had the Russians not had the atomic bomb, those two wars probably would not have taken place.
Wow. Yeah, that's, Mary, that's absolutely amazing, because that information certainly didn't come out during the Watergate affair. And that's fascinating, because I think also in his book, didn't Bernstein defend his parents and actually support the whole idea that they were communists?
He not only defended it, he told in the dedication how proud he was of them. He calls himself a progressive, and I'm sure your audience knows them changing the meaning of the language. People who are progressive used to be called communists. Now we're calling that a progressive. And, of course, they love to change the language to make it sound as though it's positive. But it's really important to understand that this man's parents were under investigation by the FBI for 35 years. For 35 years, his parents under investigation as Soviet agents. Is that something to crow about? I mean, it's so backwards in thinking. But then we found out, with the release of an email from the State Department in the last 3 years that was just discovered recently, was an email from Sid Blumenthal talking about Bob Woodward And the email was to H. Doesn't say Hillary, but it's to H, so we assume it's to Hillary. That's a leap. But regardless, what Sid Blumenthal, Hillary Clinton's fixer, if people know who Sid Blumenthal is, who's deeply involved right now in this whole Russian collusion story. So in the email, he says that Bob Woodward has been an FBI asset since his days as a Watergate reporter. Now, Bob Woodward, as we looked into him, was working with Henry Kissinger and with General Haig. He had also been Navy intelligence. He went to the man that we know as Deep Throat, Mark Felt, to get information during Watergate. And that is how the collusion began between Mark Felt, who was the deputy director of the FBI at that point, and Bob Woodward. So these two reporters, one with a background steeped in communism, and the other, who's actually intel, that is working with the deputy director of the FBI, looks like a remake. We've seen this movie before. We're watching the same thing because today we're watching Carl Bernstein, whether he's on CNN, Washington Post, and Bob Woodward, come forward and accuse the president of collusion with the Russians based upon nothing and no evidence. We're now watching as that narrative is not working. Bob Woodward has now started calling President Trump unstable and a lunatic, and that he needs to be taken out of office. The reason that they want to take Donald Trump out of office is because he's taking the chains off of America. He's taking the handcuffs and he's removing the regulations, gives people the freedom that capitalism affords to the United States. He's also reverse engineering everything that Barack Obama did. Barack Obama and those that work with him put forward so many regulations that it killed jobs, it killed entrepreneurialism, it killed our economy. Our economy was being redistributed to the globe rather than the American people. And so it's important for the deep state to take down President Trump, because he's following our Constitution. He's not regulating the people in this country out of business. He's not deciding who gets to succeed and who does not. He is not trying to kill the middle class, which is exactly what Barack Obama was trying to do. But when you take out the middle class, you're implementing communism.
Mary, you know, what you're saying is what we've been talking about the last couple of months, and that is, I think a lot of us really didn't realize how deep the deep state was and how close we were to a literal destruction of our American constitutional Republican form of government. And under Obama, and I think they anticipated, they thought they had pretty much a slam dunk on getting Hillary Clinton into the presidency. She would have been the final straw. She would have been the final link in bringing us into their communist New World Order. And we are so close, even after President Trump has been doing all these things for the last 2 years to try to bring us back to some form of sanity and back to a republic form of government. And even with that, I mean, these people are so far down the road, and they had gotten us so close to destroying this country as a sovereign republic that now they see that might not happen, and they are just going frantic. They're going lunatic trying to make sure that they somehow continue on their path to global communism.
Well, we were at the precipice, and everything that Barack Obama had done had weakened our military. He'd This is the new normal in an economy that doesn't grow. It's the 2% GDP. That people, enormous numbers that we had not seen since the Great Depression, of people out of work, people on welfare, flooding the country with illegal immigrants and calling that fair. Again, that's reverse engineering the rule of law. That's saying that we have no borders and anyone has the right to come here that they want. And the American citizens have no rights, no constitutional rights. Those rights that are accorded the American people under our Constitution were being bypassed by the Obama administration. If there was a moment in time when it was exposed, Susan Gates, a reporter, got an invitation by the Obama administration, and the top 17 agencies were... This is important for your listeners to understand, because this gives you insight into how the American, how the Obama administration thought about the American people. And they were given instructions, 17 agency heads. However, Alan and I like to say hand of God. There's a moment that the hand of God and they're exposed. They invited the wrong Susan Gates. Heard what she heard and then immediately went on Mark Levin radio show and told that these people were telling to bring in as many refugees as possible. To have the virus overtake the host, to push the American citizen into the shadows, to give these refugees loans, car loans, and mortgage loans without identification, without jobs, and to try to cripple the system financially. So think of that. They're telling to bring the virus to overtake the host. So to bring people into the country that will ripple the system, to give all the rights to those who come in as a virus, to make sure that you're pushing the American citizen who has constitutional rights into the shadows. They also created a system where they had a new paradigm for who was going to get loans. And you would give affirmative action loans. And so, based upon that, you didn't have to have a job or a background or any history. They were simply giving all these people mortgage loans and car loans. You know, the American people are paying for that because, as everyone knows, the U.S. government doesn't have any money. It's the money that comes from the taxpayers. So they were redistributing our taxes to illegal aliens and new refugees in order to have the virus overtake the host. And if that doesn't give you insight into what they're trying to do is to cripple the American citizen, but it's also this whole identity politics, you know, that we all watched under Barack Obama, where if you must be believed, regardless of the rule of law, and who should be believed and who should not be believed. Everything was meant to undermine the law, to break down the Constitution, to break down the American people. And so it's very different. This president doesn't just come in with a belief in capitalism and a belief in soaring beyond your means, of what you think you can do, that you can bypass this Marxist occupation of America, this dismantling of America, and that we can build this. Typically, we watched the Republican Party, and they are. The Republican Party, we'd watch them fold. They never had, once the media came at them, they immediately collapsed and fell into line. But this is a guy, Donald Trump, who has the intestinal fortitude. He loves a good fight. He's exposing these people, and he's not about to fold and not stand up for this country. Or, so it's interesting that what we watched in the Obama administration, as we were at the precipice, as we're about to go over, has been pulled back, and with our constitutional rights and with capitalism, we've begun, and with the chains off and with the removal of regulations, this country is growing, and you can feel the oppression removed, that there's hope again. The Marxist occupation is not working. The war that's raging against the American people has been exposed. As the Marxists have had their meltdown, and they were particularly exposed with these hearings with Judge Kavanaugh, the outrage and the citizenry grew because they knew that this was incredibly unfair.
Absolutely, Mary, and I think the average American is not only starting to realize just exactly how one-sided and evil the radical left is, without them taking down the United States of America, the last bastion of capitalism and free markets in the world, then they can control everything. And I'm telling the people that believe in communism that have never lived under it, once these people gain total control, it will be something you will not look forward to. It will be something that will destroy your lives as well as everyone else's lives. And, you know, the fools that, V.I. Lenin referred to them, as the useful idiots that are part of the transition of America to communism are going to find out themselves that what they wanted was certainly nothing that they should have wanted. Alan, I'd like to get you in the conversation. We're going to be going to break here shortly, but I want to get you in the conversation and get a little of your input on some of the things that you've uncovered as well.
Thank you. I want to expand a little bit on what Mary's been talking about and step back and look at the mainstream media, which is really the leftist radical media that took over the media decades ago, what their track record is. Going back really to the 1960s during the Vietnam War, they were engaged in an all-out propaganda operation to ensure that the United States was going to lose the war in Vietnam. And calling it the Vietnam War really is only partly accurate because it really was a hot war with Russia. That has emerged more recently that Russia was deeply involved in the Vietnam War in providing material money. And reportedly, there was even some air operations. The Chinese were involved. We were fighting not just communists in the rice paddies. We were fighting the same emerging superpowers. You know, the Soviet Union was a superpower at that point. China is on their way there very quickly. So the same media that was supporting the other side, the communists, during the Vietnam War and trying to destroy any domestic support for the war, which was a propaganda, basically PSYOP operation, is now suddenly all about Russia, you know, attacking Trump, trying to slice this meeting up at Trump Tower 50 different ways, trying to find any connection they can possibly find between President Trump and the communists. It just doesn't add up. Why did they suddenly do a complete 180? And Bernstein and Woodward were very much involved in taking down the Republicans. They you know, really, probably the course of the Vietnam War somewhat changed based on the work that they did. So I think that's part of the big picture here.
Yes, I'd agree with you. And the thing is that I think a lot of people forget that Richard Nixon was a rabid anti-communist and actually was quite involved with the House Un-American Affairs Committee and, you know, some of the things that were going on in the early 50s to identify all the communists within our own government.
And as Mary pointed out, the national security damage that was inflicted on this country by the nuclear secrets being stolen by the Rosenberg firing and Morton Sabell. It was just not nuclear secrets. There was advanced avionics research, advanced research on aircraft design that was then integrated into the MiG fighters that were used in the war over the skies of Korea and Vietnam at tremendous cost to U.S. men and women in uniform. So Bernstein is, you know, he's got one foot in this psychological propaganda operation against the United States. And on the other hand, his parents were closely integrated with those that were actually doing the dirty work of stealing our secrets, stealing advanced plans from the predecessor of NASA out of a safe at Columbia University by a foremost, basically aircraft design expert, and photographing these with a Leica camera and taking them and handing them off to Russian agents or Soviet agents at a train station. This is devastating to our country, and the damage that was done is really incalculable. And then you look at President Obama's term, and the media refused to cover, for example, the fact that he basically normalized relationships with Vietnam to the extent that he appeared, you know, he visited Vietnam, he goes and has lunch in Vietnam with the show, the CNN cooking expert, the, I forget his name right now.
Alan, we've got to move into our commercial break, but hold that thought and we'll pick it up on the other side of the break.
Thank you.
www.themicroeffect.com.
And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
It was 1776 when the founders signed the writ of independence from...
Welcome back to Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel, and today my guests on the radio show are Mary Fanning and Alan Jones, and Alan was speaking about the Vietnam War and some of the connections with the people who were rabid communists then, and now they're still rabid communists. A lot of them gravitated from open demonstrations and fighting on the streets to becoming part of the green movement, radical environmentalism. And now a lot of folks refer to them as watermelons. They're green on the outside, but they're extremely red in the middle. And I would say there's quite a number of those. You know, it's funny, the actors are the same, but the perceptions continue to change. And that's something that's happened as a result of really the mainstream media, or as I like to refer to them, the lamestream media, who have been the whole time promoting communism and activism against our constitutional republic. Alan, with that, I'd like to give you the floor and let you continue your thoughts.
Thank you very much. So, as I was mentioning, Barack Obama normalized relationships with Vietnam after, you know, his associates like Bill Ayers. Bill Ayers took a more radical approach. Obama put on the suit and tie, got in the Oval Office, and then quietly started normalizing relations with our Cold War enemies, such as Cuba, going to the baseball game with Fidel, doing the wave, going to Vietnam, having lunch with Anthony Bourdain, having a beer, and then sending over Ash Carter and Secretary of Defense to actually take the unprecedented step of then selling lethal weapons to communist Vietnam. the same country that killed 50-something thousand U.S. troops. So these are the people who were trying to take down the United States 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, during the Obama administration, and now continuing during the Trump administration. The problem is that Trump is not on the same page as they are. In fact, Trump's former attorney was Roy Cohn, who was very close to McCarthy and to the basically the hunt for Soviet spies. Now, the media tried to kind of cast a witch hunt pallor over that whole thing, but this was very real. The U.S. had already suffered tremendous damage from these spies, and there was more of them, and they had infiltrated the State Department, the War Department that then became the Pentagon and the Defense Department, and the intelligence agencies and the media, and they needed to be identified, and if they had committed any crimes against the United States, they needed to be prosecuted for that. So that needed to go away, and the same people that were trying to stop the hunt for communists, like Bernstein's parents, who were at the forefront of working with Rosenberg's lawyers and other activists. These are, can you imagine if they had social media back then during the Rosenberg trial, the amount of tweets and Facebook posts that would have been going on to try to stop that prosecution. But today, basically, these same actors are now desperately trying to get Trump out of there because they're still in power and they don't want to be identified and be held accountable.
Yeah, you're right, Alan. And I don't think people understand the importance of having a president. And I think this is the first president we've had in a very, very, very long time. I would say, probably at least a century, who is not an insider, who is not a political insider. And that is what frightens the radical left so much, is the fact that he is clean. He is not beholden to anybody in the political process, and he is someone who is a very, very significant threat to the New World Order.
Now, he's also in the middle of probably the most edge-of-your-seat Shakespeare play you could ever imagine, in which he doesn't know who in his court, you know, in his palace, if you want to call it, the White House, is with him and who isn't. And it's a real drama that continues. I mean, he's in the White House, but meanwhile you have John Kerry flying all over the world, you know, acting like he's still a U.S. diplomat, meeting with Iranian officials. And then you have activists that were involved in these extremely left-wing groups openly operating inside U.S. agencies, as Project Veritas is exposed in a few cases. So, you know, they're still in the bureaucracy. They've embedded themselves for decades. And so he's trying to peel away the layers while himself not being taken down. And it's a tightrope that he's having to walk. And the media is all on board with the left, trying to make sure that he is taken out. That's what we're seeing.
Well, that's why it's so important that we have radio programs like this and guests like you that are willing to come on and tell the truth to the American people. This is the only place, shows like this are the only place that you're going to hear what's really going on behind the scenes. Mary, I want to get you back into the conversation here. Expanding a little bit on what Alan just said, I want to mention the fact that the Clinton administration did a great deal to open our military to the communist Chinese and allowing them to basically infiltrate our military and our security operations. Nations, and they ended up taking a lot of our technology and moving it over to China, and that was done at the behest of President Clinton.
Yeah, under President Clinton and Loral, they transferred missile technology that the Chinese would never have had. But this is a global conspiracy. There are people across the globe that are working for this New World Order, and the New World Order is a communist world order. Bill and Hillary Clinton have been working hand in fist with those who would have that new communist world order. The fact that they transferred that sort of technology that puts America on its heels and threatened should have been, Monica Lewinsky was nothing. The real issue was the technology that the Clinton administration had transferred to the Chinese.
Mary, with that, they not only transferred the technology, but they got money back in return. I mean, there was an amazing amount of money that came back to the Clintons, even when they were in office, and certainly under the Clinton Foundation.
Well, the Clintons are all about enriching themselves, but they've been in bed with the likes of George Soros, and Charlotte Dizabit and Enron. And she, most people would think of George Soros as a Nazi collaborator. But George Soros works for the Soviets, for the Russians. And he is about putting forward, as he says, this open society or the New World Order. So thinking, in fact, going back to that time when Monica, that chapter in the Clintons' lives, and Hillary Clinton could care less who or what he does, basically, with other people. The only person that she let into the White House during that time was George Soros. So it's important to understand Gorky Schwartz, the Nazi collaborator, is in fact, someone hoping and helping to implement the New World Order. He takes countries down. He destroys their currency. At this point, in fact, he really should have his funds frozen for paying for these protests, this violence in the streets, and the sedition. It's an act of sedition. He's trying to collapse the United States. That's what they are working for, not just the redistribution of the United States, but the collapse of the United States. So they said that the Clintons worked closely with Soros. There's so many chapters, to Soros. This is not just a large volume. It's the Encyclopedia Britannica of treason and sedition. And in fact, those very people who came forward and talked about having the virus overtake the host and giving mortgages to the refugees and money, taxpayer dollars. A lot of that came out of the New America Foundation, which was founded by George Soros, and he stepped down, and his son Jonathan is now running that. So people don't understand what we're up against. And the New World Order, if people follow, and you probably know the mad philosopher out of Russia, and he talks about going forward, that the New World Order, the Euro-Asian New World Order, will be a conflation of communism with Nazism. It will be traditionalism, but in traditionalism he speaks to, global warming. That will be the new religion to make people worship the earth rather than God. It's a reverse engineering of God out of society. It is a removal of a middle class, so you have the Central Committee who directs everything. And so Alexander Dugin is a mad philosopher. He was also the professor that taught not just Medvedev, but also Putin. Important to keep in mind that also that the head of Germany, Angela Merkel, has been a friend with Putin since they were in university days together. Her parents were the head of the Communist Party of East Germany. when you're looking at the New World Order, these people have all been in place. You know, you have red diaper babies. This is generational coming forward to lead the globe. And so it's imperative that the American people do not get stuck in the paradigm where they're saying, I'm a Republican and I'm a Democrat, although there's nothing more important right now. You know, you need to back the Constitution. And as we're going forward with this country, and as they look to implement policies that would be more friendly and more likely to be seen in Russia or other socialist nations, it's important to stand with the Constitution. It's important right now, like no other time. They said that we were at the precipice. We were about to go over. Had Donald Trump not come to lead this nation, we would have. That's what Hillary Clinton would have implemented. She and Bill are communists. They are not Democrats. In fact, the Democrat Party doesn't even look as though it's what would have been known as a Democrat Party before. It is a communist Democrat Party, and it needs to be stopped right now. This is a miracle of what has stopped, and people are being awakened and can see the growth and the change of different policies. And it is so important for people to get out and vote and make sure that we take back America, and that we protect our Constitution. You know, there's a reason that Hillary Clinton is talking about having a reversal of law, you know, take away your constitutional rights of the Second Amendment to guns, that she's looking for a constitutional convention to change our Constitution to get rid of the Electoral College. Well, you know, if you get rid of the Electoral College, then very few states, you know, those that are the Democrat states will decide what happens in this country. So that's the last thing that we want is to get rid of the Electoral College.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, you're right, Mary, and their whole idea about this stuff is to transition America in a way that average citizens just don't see it. We've become soft. We've become intellectually soft as well, and people are not as perceptive as they used to be. They're so busy in their lives trying to make a living and raise their families, and of course now all the kids are so involved in sports rather than in intellectual pursuits that so much of our country is entertainment, and frankly, that's to the detriment of the intellectuals who are really should be pulling this country back from the abyss.
Yeah, because they don't understand that the language is so important that the left uses that in their quest for power. People hear right to be believed and they think, oh, that sounds like an okay idea. Of course we have a right to be believed. But when you understand that the right to be believed means no due process, you know, this person must be believed and that person gets no due process. It's the standard bearer of our court, right? And so the left, the communists are very slippery. And in their quest for power, they'll do anything to achieve their means. And right now, what they're doing with their identity politics is trying to create a chasm between the American people. Because when we're divided, we're not working together. That is when it's easiest to take the country down. So it's so important for them to try and look for every kind of division. You know, so black and white, and you know, all this party and that party. It's a typical communist construct in order to divide and conquer.
Yeah, absolutely. Identity politics is all about creating divisions between people based on ideological differences. differences or social differences or sexual differences or anything they can use as a tool to create divisiveness and to create a rift between different people who should be working together.
And as I said, we're looking at a replay of what we watched under the Nixon era and what the same things that were taking place with Bill Ayers and his prairie fires. These are to light fires across the nation in order to cause that division. And not for a minute do I believe that he's not part and parcel of what's taking place today. You know, people don't generally think of Bill Ayers, they think of him as a revolutionary. Well, he's a revolutionary communist. You know, when Bill Ayers was working with Barack Obama, the idea that our media didn't tell us who the mainstream media, you know, assiduously kept away from telling who Barack Obama is. You know, and so when you define him by his associations, and certainly with the likes of Bill Ayers and Louis Farrakhan, Bill Ayers was looking to take down the United States. You know, he also, beyond the weathermen and all the, you know, killing police officers and Larry Gretwald's book telling how they lived and how corrupt and, you know, amoral they are, he was also going into Cuba with the Venceremos Brigade, and that was to train Islamic terrorists. So think of what where we started in the 60s with Bill Ayers, and understand that he was working with Castro and the Venceremos Brigade to train Middle Eastern terrorists. And you get a pretty good picture of what has grown over time. And you understand that Islam is the sword of communism. This is how they implement. One of our papers, The Perfect Storm, talks about the bear in the desert. The bear in the desert is Yevgeny Primakov. Primakov was the ambassador to Iraq, working with not only Saddam and getting nuclear weapons to all in the Middle East, but he put together what was known as the Islamic Bloc. So to get these countries working together for one means, in order to take down the United States, be it by multiple skirmishes and breaking down our military, breaking down our bank for all the cost of all these. And the idea was to take down the United States, death by a thousand cuts, using Islamic terrorism to come against the United States. So keeping that in mind, that Yevgeny Primakov, this long-time working for Andropov and for each one of the Soviets, the heads of the Soviets. You know, he's a KGB agent. He's died in the last 2 years. But he was putting together this coalition of people to work to destroy the United States across the globe. So think of that and think of who Barack Obama was then coalescing with.
Absolutely, and in the next hour, we don't have time to get into it before the break, but in the next hour, we'll do a revisit of what you folks uncovered with the Port Canaveral and Port Wilmington and some of the other transfers that happened under the Obama administration. Some of our critical infrastructure in our ports and how important that is to the future of our security in our country. Mary, we'll pick this up on the other side of the break.
This is The Micro Effect. www.themicroeffect.com.
You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You you take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
There was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl. Conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. But this shining city on the hill has turned from the Creator's will, and the evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize, confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. This once righteous godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid the child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the people and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand.
Well, welcome back to Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel, and today we are talking about why they hate America, understanding communism 101, and my guests today for the radio show are Mary Fanning and Alan Jones, and we have a really good discussion going on here because there is so much more than most people realize that is behind this movement, and it's been going on for over 100 years, and it is literally the transformation of America into a system of world government, a loss of sovereignty, and to move us into a system that does not recognize any of the freedoms that we have had under the Constitution, and how important it is that we recognize that and we get this situation turned around. And President Trump, for all his little faults, he is without a doubt a patriot who believes in this country, who believes in the free enterprise system, and who is trying to turn America back to the path of freedom. And this is something that the radical left have no time for, and they are very upset that an outsider came into the political process and has managed to get enough popularity to get elected president, number one, and then number two, that he's actually doing what he said he would do when he was running for office. And it is a threat to the New World Order. I want to mention to our listeners, too, please support this radio network and support our sponsors and support the great programming that we have on this radio network. It's imperative that we have your financial support to make sure that we continue with good programming and that we can continue to grow. Our operation is intending to be covering the entire North American continent through satellite links, and we need your help to make sure that we continue in that process. So please, folks, support this network and support the hosts and the radio programming that's on this network. With that, I'll get back to Mary, and I ask you to turn your volume up just a little bit on your phone. Your voice is a little bit faint, and so if you do have a volume increase on your phone, please turn it up just a little bit so that we can hear you a little better.
It's up all the way, Jen, but I will just try to speak up more if that helps.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
So let me go back to something. As we're talking about Woodward and Bernstein, all this revolved around the Washington Post, the first Watergate era. And as we're watching today, the same players trying to take down this president, very important to understand that the seeds of what everything that we're watching, communism in America, was really came to fruition under FDR. And so understanding that here are Woodward and Bernstein, who no one exposes their background, one connected to the most critical spies, the Rosenbergs, the vets who Carl Bernstein's parents were working with in unison with. And then you go to the Washington Post, and now who is the Washington Post? What is important to understand about them is that Agnes Meyer, the Washington Post owners, along with Eugene Meyer. Eugene Meyer was head of the Federal Reserve at one point. But also, Agnes Meyer, the Meyers, are the parents to Katherine Graham. And Agnes Meyer was the patron of Saul Alinsky. So understanding that the Washington Post was working in league with Saul Alinsky, ruled for radicals, a communist, Hillary's mentor, who helped her write her college thesis, is so important to understand. Of course these people would not tell us that Carl Bernstein's parents were Soviet agents working with the worst Soviet spy ring in our country that gave away our atomic secrets. So that the Washington Post supports and was a patron of Saul Alinsky, the man sent out to, I'm sure your audience knows who Saul Alinsky is, ruled for radicals, and that, so he's working for this new world order, this communist America, because we're really the last bastion to getting that. You know, if they can turn the lights out here, they go out everywhere. This becomes global communism. We're the last stand at this point. But it's important to understand that, and they know that this is being exposed now. Because otherwise they wouldn't have just done another movie on Katherine Graham as some big hero, when in fact her family is steeped in communism. And also her father, you know, at the IMF and at the World Bank and at the Federal Reserve. Also, they have another family member. His name is Cord Meyer. Cord Meyer was with the CIA. Cord Meyer is the one who brought Mockingbird to the Washington Post and to the mainstream media. Mockingbird is to put forth a narrative to brainwash the American people. And this is a narrative that they'll sell, and that's the one you're supposed to believe coming out of the mainstream media. So understand that the Mockingbird Press, the Washington Post, their connections to the CIA is important in order to understand what we're watching take place before us. And as we watch the struggle with the deep state not liking the messages that are getting out to the American people, not through the mainstream media, because now they're so well exposed. The American people have, with the Kavanaugh chapter, the American people saw this continuation of propagating of lies with no evidence whatsoever against this Judge Kavanaugh. Brett Kavanaugh was probably the cleanest man. And the fact that they smeared and slimed his reputation, and that it was coming from the Mockingbird Press, repeating it over and over again to make the American people believe this filth, when this woman didn't have a single person who would corroborate the story, that Christine Blasey Ford had not one single person who would corroborate her story. Yet she sat there telling this across national airwaves for 2 weeks, and still the people rejected her story. And while, you know, some people said, well, maybe she's mixed things up and she has a right to her story, but there's no evidence to this. That was the Mockingbird Press in action. But when you connect that Mockingbird Press to who the Meyer family is and Katherine Graham, that these people are the Mockingbird Press. They are the ones bringing you lies to digest and to believe their narratives against the blatant truth before you.
Yeah, Mary, you know, when you say that, one of the things that happened when Trump at one of his rallies mentioned the fact, and it is a fact, mentioned the fact that Kathleen Blasey Ford had omitted all the important details. She couldn't remember anything. She couldn't remember where the party was and whose house it was, how she got there, how she got home. She couldn't remember anything except the fact that she had one beer. And when Trump said something to that effect, they absolutely attacked him as being so insensitive to this wonderful woman who had come forward and against all odds had bared her soul to expose a potential rapist who was being considered for the Supreme Court. I mean, this whole thing was so obviously biased and one-sided that no one in their right mind could have not seen how controlled the press was.
Yes, Trump burst the balloon of their false narrative and made the American people look and say, first, on this basis, would you like your son, your husband, your father to be accused and not have the right to the rule of law that she simply must be believed? When her best, think about a couple of things. Her best friend wouldn't corroborate the story. But beyond that, if these people were, you know, supposedly raping her, what a friend. She runs out of the house and leaves her friend with four rapists. It just doesn't add up.
But it
didn't turn over any documents from her psychiatrist. It turned out that the two front doors were already in her house when she bought it. The whole thing was a setup, a smear. And the American people were supposed to, as usual, just hook, line, and sinker, accept this false narrative, this Mockingbird narrative from a mainstream press that has lied repeatedly. However, they didn't understand that with the advent of the World Wide Web, the net, people were starting to read other places rather than the mainstream media, the Washington Post, the New York Times. At this point, both papers are laughable. CNN is a joke. The rest of the country has distilled the information from Donald Trump and simply says, fake news. It's all fake news from these people.
Yeah, we have an opportunity here to actually turn this country around, and it's going to be up to our listeners and up to the average American citizen to get off the couch and get out and participate and be certainly a huge part of this upcoming midterm election, because I do believe, and I think you believe the same way, that this is the most important election in our nation's history. I think this will literally determine whether we continue as a republic or we go down the rat hole of socialism / Marxism / communism.
Yes, this is our opportunity to take back America. Enough
and to make it great again. Alan, I want to get you back into the discussion. You've been listening to Mary and I rambling. I'd love to hear your input on some of these subjects as well.
Thanks. I'd like to extrapolate on what Mary said about the background of the Myers, Katherine Graham, and the Washington Post, and move from print media over to television media, and specifically to CNN. Let's look at CNN's background. It was set up as Turner Broadcasting Systems by Ted Turner. also just Ted Turner. He is a comrade of Fidel Castro, very buddy-buddy with the Cuban communist regime. During the 1980s, when following the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, the Olympics were in jeopardy. The Soviets were being basically boycotted by the international community in the Olympics. So in steps CNN founder Ted Turner to conduct a propaganda operation for the Soviets by setting up an alternative called the Goodwill Games, which were played in Atlanta, home of CNN, and then also in St. Petersburg, the former capital of Russia when it was, under the monarchy, the Tsars, and is also the hometown of none other than Vladimir Putin. There are photographs of Ted Turner in a friendly meeting with Mr. Putin. Remember, this is the same CNN that's now having a meltdown every 15 minutes over supposed Russian agent Trump, working with Putin, being Putin's best buddy, when in fact Ted Turner actually was. And who did Ted Turner marry but Jane Fonda, who, as we all know, has a pretty atrocious record in Vietnam, collaborating with the enemy. So why is it CNN, that was founded on a bedrock of pro-communist propaganda, founded by Ted Turner, married to Hanoi Jane, now all of a sudden, beginning in November 16, had a complete Russia communist freakout?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, does it, Alan?
No, something's going on. They had to, their operation was basically flipped on its head. They didn't know what to do. So they scrambled, and they did basically, most communist operations are fairly simple. They just reverse everything. They just mirror what they're doing on the other. Or if something has worked in the past, they'll just do it again. Thus, we're in, basically Watergate 2.0 with Woodward and Bernstein now, turning their sights on President Trump with the help of CNN.
That's right. And incidentally, I have to mention the fact that under the communist system, whatever they accuse their opponents of doing is more likely than not exactly what they're doing.
I think there was even talk at some point of CNN trying to set up a bureau in Havana. But Trump was extremely close to the communist regime in Cuba. And as you remember, too, when President Obama then normalized relations with Cuba, which fortunately President Trump is now walking back, at least on some level, they're still taking cruise ships down there, which probably needs to go away, too. And then, of course, they started those sonic attacks on the U.S. embassy, which seems to be some sort of Russian energy weapon system. But CNN was there cheering on this basically unification of the United States with this communist regime. And then as soon as Trump gets in, all of a sudden Trump is the new red. They have to be taken down at all costs to save the country. And you get Bernstein there saying that he's never seen darker days than the Trump presidency. He's never seen a more serious threat to the national security of our country than Donald J. Trump. When in fact he is actually standing up to the Russians. There's talk of possibly setting up a military base in Poland. Poland, which was once part of the Soviet Union, the Warsaw Pact was named after Warsaw, Poland. This was the bedrock of Eastern Europe communism. And now Trump is reversing Obama's operations to stand down missile defenses and basically open the gates for a second Russian invasion. And Trump wants to stop that. The Polish people recognize it. And that's why they're making gestures, making an invitation, even suggesting that the base there be called Fort Trump. I mean, this is a complete nightmare for the KGB leftovers that are still running the Kremlin. But yet CNN wants us to believe that Trump is the Russian agent. And the general public is actually so poorly educated on the history of the Cold War and where these countries are and who invaded who when that they just sort of go with whatever the pundits on the TV say every night.
Yeah, absolutely, and we need to understand that all this false narrative about how communism died and went away. If we look at what countries in the world are now living under communism or socialism, we're almost to the point where there aren't any that are not. And when communism supposedly died, there were still some free countries in South America, in Africa, in different nations around the world that actually had a constitutional form of government. And most of those have gone away. Most of those are now living under, at the very least, socialist governments, and many of them living under communism.
And Europe is pretty far gone. And you look at what happened when President Trump pulled the U.S. out of the Iran nuclear deal. Some of these countries are so unstable at this point, European countries, that not only do they not have enough money to fund their militaries to pay their fair share, quote unquote, of NATO. You know, you look at the percentage of their GDP that goes to NATO, and it's pitiful. Some of these countries, it's just 1%. But they've got these giant social programs that they're desperate to save, and they're willing to do business with the worst regimes on the planet, like Tehran, you know, selling them Airbus airplanes and selling them pretty much anything. Even if it could be used for a weapon of mass destruction, they just look the other way. Because they're desperate for cash, because their socialist programs have collapsed, and they want to hold on to power, so they will align themselves with rogue regimes around the country against the United States.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm gonna do a quote here that I've had on my radio show a number of times, but it's important that people understand that the fall of the Soviet Union did not mean the end of communism. It was strictly a perception of an end to communism. And this is a quote by Mikhail Gorbachev. It was in a speech that he made before the Soviet Politburo on November 2nd, 1987. And that is, quote, "In October 1917, we parted with the old world, rejecting it once and for all. We are moving to a new world, a world of communism. We shall never turn off that road. Comrades, do not be concerned about all you hear about glasnost and perestroika and democracy in the coming years. These are primarily for outward consumption. There will be no significant internal change within the Soviet Union other than for cosmetic purposes. Our purpose is to disarm the Americans and let them fall asleep," unquote. Okay, that is pretty clear. And Mikhail Gorbachev, and he's kind of the, I guess we would call him the patriarch and the new leader of the International Green Movement. And he is the chairman and the founder of Green Cross International, which is the premier environmental organization in the world. So, like I say, we've got a lot of watermelons in our world right now, a lot of them that are green on the outside and very, very, very red in the middle. Mary, I want to get – oh, I'm sorry, Alan, go ahead.
I just one more comment here. Anatoly Golitsyn, who wrote two books about exactly what you're referring to, which is the fact that the Cold War didn't end. It simply went underground while they – basically played possum and got the West to stand down militarily and economically and even help them. So Golitsyn, had basically fingered Gorbachev as a deep KGB agent who was all in on this perestroika deception to deceive the West, deceive Margaret Thatcher and Ronald Reagan and pretend like the Cold War was over. And in fact, Gallitzin conveniently, I believe, passed away shortly after President Obama was elected, right around that time. So we've never been able to really hear his analysis, but I would imagine that he would identify Obama as someone who served the interests of the perestroika deception. And another defector from Romania has actually done exactly that, Ion Pachipa, in an article for PJ Media suggested that Obama may have some connections to Kremlin intelligence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, other than President Bill Clinton, I would refer to Barack Obama not as our first black president, but as our first red president. And I think the analogy there, if you read the history of Barack Obama and how he was raised and all of the connections with his family, including his father in the various communist movements around the world, it's pretty easy to see that there was certainly, at the very least, a very, very strong influence in his education and in his youth to bring him into the fold. Mary, I want to get you back into this discussion as well, and we've moved along with the discussion now of how Pacepa and Anatoly Gallitzin and perestroika deception, and I know you have a lot of information on that as well that you've done in your research. So let's hear what you think about how the radical left and communism have literally taken over. Oh, sounds like we're moving into a break. Let's pick it up on the other side of the break.
www.themicroeffect.com. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
There was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free.
Welcome back to Connecting the Dots with Dan Apple. And today my guests on the radio show are Mary Fanning and Alan Jones. And we are talking about how the radical left has taken over so much of the mainstream media and so much of the bureaucratic political process and the enormous task that President Trump has in front of him to really bring our country back to the greatness that a republic deserves. And he's done a tremendous job so far to bring us back as far as he has. But it's amazing the forces that are lined up against him. And it's imperative that our listeners understand how important this election is in really supporting the president and supporting the policies that he's trying to bring back in play that will save our nation from falling to the global government communist New World Order group that really plan to control our world. Mary, I'm sorry we had the break before we got a chance to get you back on, but I want you to weigh in on all this discussion and bring some more of your really enlightened understanding of how really total and how diabolical this whole process has been.
Well, going back, the seeds of what we're looking at were planted in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, and 50s. And a lot of it goes back to the Silver Master spy ring. And it's important to understand it's not just Carl Bernstein. I'm sure many people watch The Circus, the political show that Mark Halperin was a part of. Mark Halperin's grandfather was a Silver Master spy, the top of the spy ring that was working with Elizabeth Bentley in order to implement a Soviet America. And I think that's the keystone to what we watch, is that they're trying to implement a communist Soviet America. Now think about that, that the man who was the top of the spy ring with Greg Silvermaster, the Silvermaster spy ring, with the Rosenbergs, who had to flee the country, Maurice Halperin, and then his son was the one who was exposing Nixon, and now his grandson, Mark Halperin, is the one who was telling everyone what to believe politically, supporting Hillary Clinton, and that he, you know, is widely listened to on CNN and MSNBC and through his book. This is another part of the Mockingbird Press, which is bringing you the news that you should never believe. So, as I said, it's not just Carl Bernstein, and it's not just Mark Halperin. There's many other people that are connected to the Soviet infiltration into the United States. Remember the clues piece that we did, and those that were on Obama's campaign team, of Victor Margolin. So he was creating all the images that you were supposed to help to believe Obama's new rising sun. Victor Margolin is the son of Ilya and Benjamin Margolin. So here he's creating the imagery for the Obama campaign. He's also shared a teacher's his teaching position has gone at the University of Illinois Chicago, along with Bill Ayers, for 30 years, when he wasn't going back and forth to Cuba to teach periodically. So Victor Margolin and his wife were the ones who were the second and third, the treasurer and the vice president of Subud, with none other than Loretta Fuddy, the person who presented the Obama birth certificate. These people go back to the Soviet Silver Master spies, to the communist infiltration of America. Olya Margolin was brought before the House on American Activities. She was working with Kim Philby. Kim Philby was a communist Soviet spy in British MI5 who was flooding the United States with Soviet spies and Nazis after World War II. And Olya was in charge of the refugee resettlement program, Olya Margolin, Victor's mother, who was putting out the artwork for the Obama campaign. Victor Margolin and was also working with Saul Sender. Saul Sender was the grandson of communist revolutionaries out of Spain that resettled into the United States and became weathermen. So, you know, this is open source information, but when you understand what you're looking at, and you understand that this is a cabal of infiltrators, those who have infiltrated the United States in order to create a communist America, you just start looking, and you start looking because they're still associated. The same people have come down through generations and are still working for the overthrow of the United States, for the implementation of a communist world order, a Soviet America. So it's important to understand that when your gut instinct tells you that something's not right, people really just need to go with it.
Yeah. The strings, the connections, the connecting the dots, as it were, between all these different players, these different actors, these different groups, and how intertwined they are in our entire system of government in this country. I think when we start to pull on the ends of some of those loose strings and realize what a knotted mess we have as a result of allowing that to happen, it's frightening.
Yeah, particularly when, you know, the likes of General Petipa, you think that he was in charge of the KGB for Romania, and the things that he saw, and he had a conversion of sorts, a religious conversion, but, you know, as Alan just mentioned, that he came out in a piece in February at PJ Media. It's so important to understand that the man in charge of the KGB for Romania, who hadn't been heard from for 5 years, came forward to say he should know. He's seen intelligence operations from the inside as the top general in the KGB. He should know, and he believes, that Obama is is intelligence for the Kremlin. That is just a stunning statement that should catch everyone's breath when you have someone. Now, Ian Petipa didn't just defect. He worked with our CIA for many years. So he's a defector that came and started helping our intelligence agencies. So based upon what he has to say, people should really consider that if Obama is intelligence for the Kremlin, and we have so many other people who are connected to the Silvermaster's firings or the Rosenberg's firings, we need to be very careful about who's infiltrating our government and who's inside it. In fact, you know, the idea that John Brennan, who converted to Islam and also was a supporter of Gus Hall to become the first communist president of the United States and voted for him, was then welcomed into our CIA, should give people pause. Beyond that, remember also that J. Edgar Hoover was going investigating the Council on Foreign Relations for what they had put into the CIA, that they were controlling the country through the Council on Foreign Relations into the CIA and controlling the intelligence arm of our government. So.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right, and you know, those connections, and you mentioned John Brennan, those connections are so important, and it's so astounding to me that people who couldn't get a security clearance to drive a school bus are in charge of some of our most important security and, well, are certainly our federal government agencies, and have done so with the full knowledge that a lot of these agencies are just wide open to this sort of thing.
Well, under the Obama administration, they weren't just wide open. That was a magnet that was attracting so many others just like him. And so as they dismantle the upper echelons of the FBI, I was surprised when I read that James Comey even said, well, I don't know what I am now. I was a communist in my youth. Really? What an interesting statement for the director of the FBI to make. And
yeah, absolutely.
And so the fact that we're looking at the deputy director who's working with CNN and dropping information, Andrew McCabe, and giving it to the likes of Bob Woodward, we should be very concerned. And it gives us insight into what the deep state is. And so the deep state appears to be those who represent the idea of taking down America and the redistribution of America and the central committee to run the country for just a few rather than the right accorded under the Constitution. So right now we have James Baker, the general counsel for the FBI apparently is singing. And the information that's coming out from James Baker right now in these committee hearings that's going to start leaking is that James Baker is the one who took receipts. You can find this in our whistleblower tapes article. James Baker received 600 million documents, 47 hard drives of information that were collected on an illegal surveillance system that was created by John Brennan and James Clapper, the head of the CIA, with the National Security Council. And Dennis Montgomery tells that the FBI under Robert Mueller is the one who provided the computers for this illegal surveillance system. And the idea that these people implemented a police state and were spying illegally and in fact making fraudulent applications to the secret FISA court should concern every American.
Oh, I agree. And every American, Mary, needs to understand that, you know, if we don't do something about this, if we don't stand up and say we support a president who is willing to tackle this subject head on, then we don't deserve the freedom that we have.
This is the time that America needs to stand up and fight for our freedoms. As I said, if the lights go out here, they go out everywhere. And, you know, it's important to remember, they work for us. They are not our minders. They work for us, those who are into elected office, into the FBI, the CIA. And the idea that they were using government, weaponizing government against the American people through the IRS, through all sorts of agencies, should concern people, because this is, if you have read The Coming of the Third Reich, they were doing, you know, they didn't have the web and they didn't have the ability to spy on people the same way, but they were spying on people and threatening people and putting people into government that would do things that are illegal, that would have been considered illegal. And so this is the implementation under Obama of a police state. And these were the same people, the people that worked for him. They weren't there, you know, and just happened to go along. They were there because they would go along. You didn't have someone, you know, remember John Brennan. They couldn't even bring him up for CIA director the first time around until they got things in order. And then they could put him in. And if you remember, Senator Dianne Feinstein at that point was abhorrent that they were spying on her computers and phones. And by the time they brought him up to be approved as the director of the CIA, if you watch the hearing, people were almost afraid to ask him anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what a police state looks like. But it gets worse. So this is the beginning. And if people think letting this go forward and letting this without the implementation of the rule of law and the consequences, the idea that James Clapper and John Brennan were blackmailing people and had a secret surveillance system that they had turned against the American people. Remember, the CIA is to work overseas. They are not war against terrorists. They are not to turn their power against the American people.
No, that's right. Although the Patriot Act certainly did a great deal to destroy our individual liberties and our some of the shielding that we are traditionally protected under our Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
Well, giving up those rights, you know, those who will hand over their rights, neither deserve them or will have them, we should not have a FISA court. There should be no secret court under the Constitution of the United States. You know, if these are terrorists, and take them to Gitmo and in military tribunals, work in that fashion. You don't have secret courts in the United States where they get to simply take your belongings and put you in prison without, you know,
due process
and your day in court. So people need to understand our rights in order to fight the reverse engineering of having any rights.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, you mentioned the FISA court, and I know that so much of what was put into the warrant that supposedly allowed so much of the surveillance of President Trump and all that, that's another story unto itself, and that was, most of that was completely made up, fabricated, and paid for by the DNC and Hillary Clinton's campaign.
Yeah, that was Hillary Clinton's campaign and her attorney Sussman, who was working with the FBI to create this false narrative about Russian collusion, while at the same time Hillary Clinton had an illegal server that she was communicating on, where 200 SAP, now, you know, I talked to generals and colonels, and there were those that I spoke to that before this happened did not even know what SAP was. It is so top secret that most people didn't know about these secure access programs, SAP. It's above top secret. If someone were to see SAP, those who were allowed, and it was very few generals, even generals had to go in, no paper, no pen, no phone, under armed guard in order to view SAP. Why? Because SAP was were all of our nuclear secrets, the location of the silos, as well as the location of live intel across the globe. Well, does it surprise anyone that within 1 year of Barack Obama coming into office, you know, we didn't learn this until this past year, but within 1 year of him coming in, there was no live intel left, not one live intel left in China. So Hillary Clinton's, insecure, illegal server, the Chinese had access to it, and you have to assume everyone else does. And so we also know that Barack Obama was communicating with her on that illegal server. We also know that she was buying Blackberries from eBay, used old Blackberries. Now, why is that? Well, that's because Research in Motion, RIM, that was producing the Blackberry, that phone had a battery and a chip in it that you could open and take out so that you could either talk with no one being able to eavesdrop on you with the normal intel that we have in this country. But also, you could take the chip with the information out, and that's interesting how easy that would be to transfer secrets, state secrets. And so when you know that the amount of SAP above top secret, secure access, that this was being given to our enemies, and that's breathtaking. That is breathtaking that she was transferring that kind of, because, come on, she's a first lady in the White House. She's a senator. She's at the UN. She knows darn well that that's a transference of intel to use a system like that.
Yeah, it's pretty hard for her to, with a straight face, say that she didn't understand the implications or didn't understand that it might be a problem.
Beyond which, whether you understand it or not and you do it, it's still actionable. She still should have been charged. And the fact that the likes of James Comey and Andrew McCabe were covering that information up should. This is the kind of intel, remember, right now, the United States, under the Clintons and Jimmy Carter and those, they stood for putting forth mutually assured destruction, that our national security was going to be based on mutually assured destruction. And those of our enemies we were going to trust to do everything and every program that we had negotiated, that they would do what were asked and what was put into those treaties. They did not. But we gave up everything that we had. And that's why it's so important to go to reverse engineer that mindset and to put forward and go with Dr. Pry and Ronald Reagan's Star Wars initiative of brilliant pebbles and things like that that in fact make nuclear weapons obsolete so that they cannot hit us. We do not have any protection in this country at this point. Understand that the Trojan horse weapon system, you know, so it used to be nuclear suitcase bombs, but now it's nuclear cargo containers, where less than 0.1% of those cargo containers are being hand inspected as they come into this country. But beyond that, where do they go before they come into the country? They go to Hutchinson Whampoa, the Chinese, to inspect them for entrance into the United States. Can you even imagine such a thing?
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy, Mary. You've brought so many important things to light in this discussion and in numerous other discussions we've had with Port Canaveral and the importation of all these cargo containers with weapons systems internal in those cargo containers. It's just it's amazing to me that we have allowed the fox to guard the hen house so long that we've literally destroyed all national security. And God bless President Trump for trying to turn that around.
Well, think about it. The ENLOS, which turned out to be the Club K, was designed under 13 years. And it was canceled after 13 years of future combat systems under Ash Carter and Barack Obama. And the next week, Russia announces that they have the Club K, the Trojan Horse cargo container weapon system. We have been using it on our ships, not as a Trojan horse in a cargo container. Now the Russians are in a strategic alliance with Gulfcaner. Gulfcaner is owned by the Hamid Jafar out of Iraq, who funded Saddam's nuclear weapons, and his brother, Dr. Jafar, Dia Jafar, was Saddam Hussein's nuclear mastermind. Now that's the family that Obama turned over Port Canaveral in a 35-year lease with no national security threat analysis, CFIUS review, and put in place Port of Wilmington, which has now been handed over in a 50-year lease to the same people. So the people who are working with Russia and the nuclear weapons and the designer of biological, nuclear, chemical weapons, you know, this is beyond, this is so bizarre. You know, what could possibly go wrong? You bring nuclear
yeah, right. What could possibly go right in this scenario?
Yeah.
Mary, I hate to say it, but we're running out of time. I want you to give you and Alan an opportunity to talk about your Center for Security Policy site and how they can get more information from you.
People can go to the centerforsecuritypolicy.org. So you can research and find the perfect storm or the real Russia story, what could possibly go wrong. Read what's taking place with our courts. You can also read about the shady Watergate reporters. Just Google our names. You'll find the occasional papers and the other papers at the centerforsecurity.org. Mary Bannon and Alan Jones. Also our own website on theamericanreport.org. Alan is 1776channel.com.
Okay, well, thank you both for being our guests today on Connecting the Dots. And as always, it's been a wonderful conversation with two very, very brilliant and very interesting people. And I thank you for your patriotism to this country.
Thank you.